So it's not about what you do as much as it is about the heart that you do it in. Okay? And so God wants to get rid of all the rebellion in your heart. Oh, this is a good one. Listen to this really good, Kara. All right, you could have two kids. Let's have three kids. We have three kids. I do have three kids. We could have three kids. And you could say, I want you to go and clean your room. And one kid who just wants to seem as if they're submissive, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm just saying it could be. You can't go by the actions. One kid could come out and say, oh, I already cleaned my room, because they knew that they were going to be told to clean their room, and they didn't want anybody to tell them what to do. So they cleaned their room first so they wouldn't have to really submit. That'd be you. Now, another kid could just straight out blatantly say, who do you think you are that I have to clean my room? You have no business. I have rights. You can't tell me to clean my room. Now, that kid's straight out rebellious. That kid saying, I don't care if you're my parent. You know, let me go to spanking. If you spank me, I'm calling social services. But the Bible says to spank them. I say, call them. Go spend a week with some ungodly people and see if maybe you don't have it pretty good here. You don't be fearful to spank them when they need to be spanked and the Lord tells you to spank them. You see what I'm saying? You've got to get rebellion out of their heart. Now, you might have another kid who just kind of looks around and whatever. And it's not necessarily rebellion. It may just be a lazy kid that you're going to have to go help motivate. Okay? And so God has to show you what's in these hearts. Because God's the only judge, because he's the only one who knows what's in a heart in every situation. Same thing. And that's why he talks to the one scripture, to the slaves. He goes, don't just do it with I say. Don't just like, yeah. And I, with the slave thing, I put that like the workplace today. I mean, if you want that paycheck, you need to do what they say. And you might have a say, you might not have a say. But what God is saying there, don't sit there and go, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. And then as soon as they walk away, badmouth them, trash them, say, well, as soon as I can get out of here, I'm getting another job and this and that. You're rebelling. You're rebelling. I'll give you a really good example that just happened. Another situation with government. My son, who hears a lot of my preaching, so he's not into being controlled, okay? So at his school now, you have to have your hair cut above your eyes, your bangs, and you can't have it but curl or something in the back, because the boys just don't have long hair. I personally don't care if they have long hair. I mean, I dated guys who had hair down to here, and I just know that it doesn't make them a horrible person. I'm glad my kids don't try to have their hair that long, because I know their dad would not probably go for it. But that's between them. But for my son's talking about this, he's making it seem as if the person in charge of the new rule has a control issue and is using and spiritualizing it, saying that it goes against God and you don't love God if you don't cut your hair. Now, I don't know if this is really happening or not. If it is, that person is abusing their natural authority and spiritualizing it. To which you just pray for them. You don't rebel against their natural authority. So my son's like, well, mom, if you know that something is a sin and someone tells you you have to do it, but to you it's a sin, don't you have to not submit to that sin and do what's right in the eyes of God? I'm like, let's be a little clearer. What exactly, I know my kid, you know, what exactly is this sin? He says, well, they're telling us we have to cut our hair or we're in sin. And I know that it's not in the Bible that it's sin to have longer hair. I said, well, where in the Bible does it say that your principal can't tell you to cut your hair? He goes, well, I said, no, tell me where in the Bible does it say that you are not to submit to your principal about a rule that he can make if he wants to. And then I went further to say, you're getting rebellious. You've heard preaching about not being controlled, and now you're perverting that because you don't want a haircut. And I said, let's put it this way. You're a good kid. You've never, you know, I trust you. You're mature enough now that if you want to go to public school next year, you can. Because then you don't have to submit to having your hair cut. He doesn't want to go to public school. He loves his school. I said, so you're choosing to let go of this personal right to be obedient to the authority, and it's your choice. Do you see what I'm saying? If you're working a job and you really, really don't want the kind of treatment or something, then you have the choice to leave that job. You don't have the choice to rebel against that government and come against. Let me say it with the church. If you really, really don't have grace to be staying somewhere, and you begin to get bitter in your heart and critical, you need to leave. Because if God has you there, He'll give you grace to submit. God's never let me leave mad. I'm either actually thrown out when I thought everything was fine, or I want to stay and He tells me to leave. If you stomp off mad, you're leaving rebellious. But I'm not using that to control people to never leave. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, we got to start using wisdom of being led by the Spirit of God. But if you start getting critical anywhere, you are coming against the government that God has placed there that He wants to give you grace to honor. And if He's starting to tell you to leave and you're not leaving for social reasons, or if my son was just staying there for the wrong reasons and I start to see real rebellion come into his heart, then you better deal with it. Okay? So, let's see what else this is about government. Actually, Mark 7:10, Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5:16, and Luke 18:20 are just a few of the scriptures that say, honor your mother and father. The reason rebellion is so bad is because it actually comes against the way God set things up. Okay? Satan's perverted it, and now you're not just coming against Satan and the spirit that he's released. You're actually coming against the wisdom of God. You're actually having no fear of the Lord. You're actually saying, God, I don't know why you set up this submission thing. You know, were you having a bad day when you invented this, you know? And I think I can do it better without following your rules. And let me say this. Thank you, Lord, because I forget. Why does God set this up like this? Why does God give us these governments, this that covers us? Why? Well, for protection, but there's a lot of perversion, so we don't always get as protected as we should. Everything God gives us in the natural is a reflection of a spiritual reality. So when we get into the kingdom of God, when we're in heaven, there will be government. There will be an awesome government, and God will be in charge of it all. And by the time we finish this life's journey, the desire is that we want Him to be in charge. That we're tired of trying to do it ourselves. We're tired of rebelling. See, I really believe, here, this kind of came to me the other day. It's kind of a cool thought. See, the angels and all had it all good. Everything was great. And they didn't understand how good they had it, so they rebelled. But we as human beings will know how lousy it is. By the time we get to heaven, we should hate that we were in charge. We should see that man without God makes a big mess. And the desire would be when we get in heaven, we won't rebel like those angels did because we've already lived in that. And therefore, heaven will never become a place where you have to be cast out of like Satan had to be cast out. Does that make sense? God says, let's do this the other way. Let's, you know, they'll fall and then they'll want me. They'll want me to be in charge. Let's go to Ephesians. Then we can talk about husbands and wives too. We have a whole teaching on this that's powerful on the book of Ephesians to really talk about submission. And the book of Hebrews really talks about submission to church authority too. And they're very thorough teachings that I can't get into all that here. We're just really dealing with the rebellion aspect on this teaching. Okay, Ephesians 6. Oh, this gives us two of them right away. Children, and we have some powerful teaching on Ephesians about why God sets this up where you can submit and obey, because a true Christian husband and true Christian parents have gotten all the junk out. But then it's easy to obey them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise or with protection, that it will be well with you and you may have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but nurture them in the discipline of the Lord. Then the next one, we were talking about slaves, obey your lords according to flesh with fear and trembling in singleness of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ doing the will of God from the soul, serving as slaves with good will to the Lord and not as to men. Each one knowing that whatever good thing he does, this he will receive from the Lord, whether a slave or a free man. And lords, do the same thing towards them, forbearing, not threatening, knowing that the Lord of you and of them is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. For the rest, my brothers, be made powerful in the Lord and the might of his strength. What Lord is saying here, no matter what place where you're put under a government or submission, do it as unto the Lord. And God will reward you. God will protect you. God will take care of you. And God will turn it around for good. And so God's saying, don't get bogged down into the devil's perversions. Don't get bogged down into what the enemy's done, but get above it. Get above it. Walk in that place with Christ. Now here we just see the children obeying the parents. And so we're going to talk about that. Look at these promises. Look at all the people dying early. Could it be that the government was so perverted in the parenting situation that the devil is then given them or given a right or a way to come in and kill them before their time because they weren't able to honor their mother and their father? And one thing I begin to see as I looked at the scripture is honor means giving esteem to, is directly related with who God tells you to, who has authority in your life. The people you're called to honor have authority in your life. And if you don't honor them and submit to that authority, but you rebel against that, then rebellion comes into your heart and it will pervert your relationships. So here you kind of see an employee kind of thing or whatever your working situation is, where it's also a place to submit unto the Lord and not let rebellion in your heart. And he gives, and God in his instruction gives parenting tips and also employee tips. And he's basically saying, look, don't do this or you're going to cause your child to become rebellious. Don't do this. If you have the position of being a boss, don't use that position in a way to cause your employees to become rebellious. In other words, God says, do everything that will glorify me. Do everything that will show that government is something that I'm in charge of. And see, God's perfect will in this is that as a father, you're led by the Spirit and you raise up godly children. And if you're an employer, you're led by the Spirit and you help people have the money they need, the provisions they need. You help people become all they can be in Christ. And that workplace actually becomes a place where God's glorified. That home actually becomes a place where God's glorified. And God has given you natural authority to be able to do that if you know God and go after him. As a mother, you have authority with those children to make that a natural, a place, that natural authority to help them to be able to obey and know God. The Bible says you don't love them if you don't discipline them because God knows those kids will have a very hard time ever finding God. And basically, you're writing their ticket to hell. You've allowed the enemy to come in and cause you to rebel. And in that rebellion, you're passing that on to your children. And in that place, you wonder why you pray and pray for them and they get worse and worse. And that's why God's saying, let's get this junk out so you can have authority and power. So we got the thing on parenting. I'm not going to get into all the different ways your parents have irked you, things the devil has done. We've got a lot of tapes on that. You need to learn to separate the sin and the spirit that's operating in that sin from the person made in the image of God. You need to honor that if you had a godly father and you had a godly mother, that it would have been for your security. It would have been for your protection. It would have helped you to find Jesus Christ. That was the intention of God when he sets these governments up. It's his intention that he has leaders who are godly so that he can protect a nation. I believe our votes really count. I really believe also that the heart of the church will many times determine who we get as president. Now, I know a lot of people were really upset that President Bush got in and there was all that stuff about the Florida thing. But I'll say this, God sent me to Florida during the day they were voting. And I had no idea. And he told me to stay in my room and to pray just for a couple hours. And he told me to fast breakfast and to pray. And it was a radical prayer. And he said, okay, now the one I want has won. Okay. And then I thought, okay, well, whatever. And then it was, I had no idea it was going to be this big deal in Florida. I had no idea. I had no idea why I was in Disneyland with my family in Florida in October. I had no idea. I wasn't even, I mean, my husband and I did the ballot. You know, we did that thing before you leave town, you mail it off. I didn't think about it again. And I really, of course, wanted God's, whoever God wanted to win, to win. And now God can give you a president that's not godly. So just because God puts somebody in office doesn't mean that that's person godly. So I'm not making the judgment calls. I just know this. God told me, God took me strategically to Florida, sent my husband and kids away for a while, had me pray like a total maniac that his perfect will be done. I did not pray for a candidate. I did not tell God who I thought he should put in office. I specifically prayed, thy will be done, thy will be done, thy will be done. I specifically came against the lies of the enemy strongholds. So I personally believe that God's will was done because I know what he told me and I know what he did and I know he sent me there. And the thing that's so cool is that the American people maybe didn't vote God's perfect will, but God still had his way.